With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Hello and welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, do the Cowboys have a shot to upset the Rams on Saturday? Plus, reaction to the Cardinals' controversial decision to name Cliff Kingsbury their head coach. And would the Lakers be one of the NBA's worst teams if they didn't have LeBron? Skip Shannon, let's get to it. So let's talk about those Cowboys. They are a big underdog on Saturday here in LA against the Rams. They're coming off a narrow 24-22 win over the Seahawks, which was Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott's first career playoff win. We are joined by Rob Parker. And Rob, you picked the Cowboys to lose that game.
But I beat you on that bet, didn't I, Skip? Didn't I get 2.5 points?
No.
What? Let's go back to the tape.
No, there was no points. I had points. You owe me three dinners.
I thought I had the point.
No, get it back this week, Rob.
You wanted double or nothing, and I saved you from yourself.
Yeah,
and I said, no, just one more dinner.
This week, so though.
Were you any more impressed after that performance, Rob?
No, I'm still out on the Cowboys.
Still out.
I guess
I need this.
Until
I need
they hoist the Lombardi trophy, I think that's what I'll say and concede that maybe they got something going on. But, Skip, you know.
Maybe they got something going on. Yeah. Okay.
I watch it, and Dak had the big play, the run or whatever, but I watch, and I'm like, okay, the offense is just putting around. You know what I mean? It wasn't that impressive. The score at the half. It wasn't like they were blowing Seattle out.
No.
And Dak wound up having, 226 yards. He had an okay day. He had a bad pick earlier that could have sealed the game. So there was a bad pick that was involved. So do I give him credit? Yes, that's their only third playoff win since 1995. Okay, so I never poo-poo winning. I give you credit for winning.
Don't hold that against this team.
No,
this
I'm not. I'm just saying. So
they
of course
can't fix what's happened.
This team is 1-1.
Right.
How about that? The last 3 years.
They were
what you want to talk about history.
This team should be 2-0.
No, they
should. They lost. Skip that game. But to look at this team after that win and go, yep, okay, I was totally wrong. They're going to make a Super Bowl run and they're going to steamroll the Rams in L.A. and move on and go to the Super Bowl. I don't see it. I don't see it. And then there'll be that bad game that they've had many times on the road. They were 3-5 on the road this year. They were a much better home team. We know that. 7-1, and then they won the game against Seattle in the playoffs. But they'll go on the road, they'll lose, and then people will look at the team and go, this got to be fixed. There's some things that still aren't there. I'm not sold on Dak.
Oh, I thought you meant the game had to be fixed.
No.
Because that's the only way they're going to win.
Well, that's the only way they could win. Right. I would still take Jared Goff over Dak Prescott at this point.
You too.
I would.
Yeah. Look, Skip, I do give credit, contrary to what you think. You had to be impressed with the way the Dallas offense and defensive line dominated the game. They controlled both sides of the ball. Zeke was able to get 137 yards running, over 5 yards a clip. The number one running team in football was unable to get anything generated. And so when you look at that, time of possession, Dallas had over 10 minutes, ran 16 more plays. But for it to be a two-point game, when you have this kind of domination, what am I missing?
That's the quarterback.
Now, Ron said that, Skip. You looking at me, that's Rob. That's your partner. You've known him 25 years.
I have, unfortunately.
What was disappointing is that Seattle, yes, you are a great running team. But normally teams go into a game, Rob, if someone stops what we're really good at, do we have, if I'm a fastball pitcher, and every time I throw the fastball, somebody knock it out, can I go to changeup?
Yes.
Can I go to curveball skip? Can I get this flip finger?
They neutralized Russell Wilson. I'm sorry, exactly. They did it.
So that's all I'm saying, Skip. So yeah, I was impressed somewhat, but not impressed as I would have been had they allowed Russell to do other things and they shut that off as well. So give them credit, they win. I don't poo-poo winning either.
Yeah.
So winning is tough, especially playoff winning.
What we're hearing right now is this man's eyes are being slowly opened by my Dallas Cowboys. This man's eyes are closed. He is still blind to what is really happening
Bird
here.
Bird Box Challenge.
And you know what? I'm actually getting nervous that you're starting to come around because I need you to hate them. I need you to keep hating them. Hate fuels my team. Doubt fuels my team. Disrespect has fueled my team all year. And it keeps getting even with team after team after team for what that team had done to them this year or last year. Last year, the Rams came to Jerry World and embarrassed the Cowboys in the second half. Dallas was up 24-16 at half. That's pretty impressive to score 24 in the first half. The quarterback who couldn't throw, he was really on a roll in the first half. Not so much in the second half. So they owe the Rams. And by the way, I'm going to say it again, and you're with me on this. This L.A. Coliseum, it is their home away from home.
It's everybody away from home,
Skip. Hey, 60% Cowboy fans will take over.
Really? Will it be that big?
Absolutely.
It's because the Dallas Cowboys have trained in Southern California in Thousand Oaks or Oxnard since 1963. They had a couple of breaks where they went back to Texas, but mostly since 1963 they've been here. What has happened over that time span? L.A.'s been without a pro football team.
Almost 20,
guess what?
Right?
A lot of kids, a lot of fathers and mothers would take their kids out to Thousand Oaks or Oxnard to watch the Dallas Cowboys train, and it's free. You can just go watch practice every day.
And think about the names that they've had over all those years.
Oh, man.
They had to start,
so you got generations of Cowboy fans coming up, and they're all going to be fighting for tickets that can be had at this Coliseum right now, which is still kind of the Rams' home away from home because they're not in their real home yet, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Okay, so given all that, what happened on Saturday night was far more impressive than you're giving it credit for because it wasn't as close as 24-22. Again, you read it was a narrow win, and it ended
it
up.
It was.
Okay, it but they're ahead 24-14, and it's way over. It is done.
No, it wasn't.
And all of a sudden, Byron Jones, as he is wont to do, as he did against Aaron Rodgers that day, he just drifts mentally. He just
he looked inside. The guy got.
You're like, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? I don't know. Well, I wonder what I'm going to do after the game. I don't know. And all of a sudden, he lets Lockett just run right. You're in a prevent, and he just runs right up the seam past you for 53 yards.
Skip, that wasn't the most egregious one. The most egregious when he let the back come out on fourth down. Dude, what are you looking at?
Okay, but the game is over at that point. So I look at what my new triplets did in that game. Dak was really good. He made two big runs that just sealed the deal down at the goal. He just said, give me the ball because they have a trouble cashing in the red zone. I'll cash it. I'll catch it.
Why?
Cash it twice.
They're like last, aren't they? Or
why?
Last?
I told you he would outplay Russell Wilson, and in QBR, he had a 74 to Russell's 70. And Russell was really good in that game. Zeke had 137 yards, and Amari caught 106 yards worth of passes. That's big time. And to me, the takeaway is the Dallas defense can rise and shine when you least expect it. They had not been very good since New Orleans. But if you look at what they did to New Orleans and what they did to the number one rushing attack, the way that the 2-for-13 on third down was Russell Wilson's off. That was the whole difference in the game. So here we go with the Rams against the run. What are the Rams against the run? They allowed the biggest yard per carry against them in the league this year. 5.1 yards per rush they allowed. That's the worst in the NFL. Zeke averaged 5.1 yards per rush this year in the regular season. So do they have a chance to control the
absolutely.
Clock?
Absolutely.
Could Zeke go for 150 and they could win time of possession 35-25?
Yes. Well, that's what they're going to need to do.
Could they out-physical the Rams? Is it possible that Jared Goff has sort of unraveled over the last five games?
No.
He's 6 touchdowns to 6 interceptions with 3 lost fumbles?
No.
Is it possible? But I need that spread to be bet up. I need it to be a 10-point spread by game time because that's what fuels
what is
my
it, six
football
and a half?
Team. It's 7.
That's 7 right now.
Yep. Bet it up. Come on. Leap on that Shannon Sharp bandwagon.
Don't worry about it. I got your number, though, buddy.
Yeah?
I got your number.
Oh, really?
You're going to pay off and do this week.
Really?
Yes, you will.
I might have to go back to the well, too, this
really?
Week.
Really? Okay.
I'm tired.
Okay, we're going to go to.
Because you know the thing is.
Rob, you've been drowning in that well for a long time.
Always, because the thing is, you know, Rob, he won't let well enough alone. Oh, I've won 27 cases of due off you. Nobody ask you that.
I volunteered.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my point.
But you're in the Hall of Fame and I'm not. And you say, you're always wrong, yet I'm always right. I don't know.
Okay, when I get it back, what are you going to say then?
I'll say you were right about that, but it hasn't happened yet. No mercy.
The Cowboys and Rams are meeting here in L.A. Saturday in a huge matchup on Fox. The game will feature two quarterbacks from the 2016 draft class, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff. Goff finished with 32 touchdown passes this season, but he struggled at the end of the year with just 6 touchdowns in the Rams' last 5 games. On the other side, Dak, he's fresh off his first career playoff win against the Seahawks. He had 28 total touchdowns with only 6 picks for Dallas this year. We are joined by FS1 NFL analyst D'Angelo Hall. Good morning.
Looking sharp.
How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning.
I hope your argument's as good as your attire. We'll see.
I guess we'll see. I am going to start with
Let's do it. Let's do it.
In your opinion, who is the better quarterback?
I mean, it's Jared Goff here. You know, and it's not even a debate. And the reason it's not a debate is. Like I said, I played Dak Prescott as a rookie, and I thought, wow, you know, this kid has a chance to be really good.
He beat you twice.
And but
just for the record,
okay.
He did.
Hey, this kid has a chance to be really good.
Okay.
And that's why I still think that he is a really good quarterback.
Yep.
But then you look at Jared Goff as a rookie. Mm. Oh my goodness, what is going on? I mean, we all thought Jared Goff was a bust, and then he gets with Sean McVay in year two, and he has a season, and we're like. Wow, this guy looks like a different kid. Then you watch him here in year three, still looks really good. He's looked bad these last couple of weeks.
Maybe like 5 weeks?
These last 5 weeks, he has looked a lot worse. He hadn't been able to.
Yeah,
he's trying too hard, it looks like, in football games. He's going for that deep ball when it's double coverage. But the gist of this conversation, absolutely, Jared Goff is a better quarterback. And it's just simply because it's the reason you have all these teams now trying to go get the next Sean McVay. Because they saw what he was able to do for a guy like Jared Goff. And you watch Dak Prescott, and like I said, as a rookie, wow, this kid has a chance to be great. And now I see him now, and I'm still waiting for him to continue to grow, continue to grow. I think he still can really, you know, be a really good quarterback, and that's why I think he'll be Dallas's long-term solution at that position because it'll be cost-effective to keep him there. He won't be a $25 million guy.
Oh, they going to pay him $25
million? No, they won't.
The
they won't. They
pay
won't.
Pay
they
him won't. $25 million.
They won't. And that's why they're
going to
keep bolstering everybody else around.
They ain't got to pay for that
around
yacht.
Around that.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that later, too.
That's a nice yacht, too.
Bravo, Eugene.
Skip, I keep telling if I tell you something, you don't want to believe me. Everybody else come out here and tell you the same thing, and you are not, and you know it be true, but you just don't want to agree with me. You just don't want me to be right. We're like brothers, and everybody, cousin can tell you something. Everybody else can tell him the same thing.
Do you
realize I'm up 27 cases of Diet Mountain Dew on
don't
you?
Don't worry about
27,
it.
27, so I don't know. Somehow I'm right about that. I don't know.
I'm going to get it back case by case. Okay. Pass yard, Jared Goff finished fourth. Dak Prescott finished 15th.
Are we doing this year only?
This year only.
Okay.
Big plays, 20 yards. Big plays defined as a 20-yard. Goff was second. Dak was 21st. Yards per attempt. Goff was fourth.
Yep.
Dak was 19th. Wins. One guy had, how many skip? 12. The other guy had 10. One guy's going to the Pro Bowl. The other guy isn't. One guy has it. You love QBR. Now, Jenny, that's a stat. I don't know if you noticed this, Jenny. They measure 0 from 100.
Yep.
Encompasses a lot.
Here.
Yeah, a lot.
Yep. So you're telling me you love QBR, right?
No, I don't love it. Oh. You do.
No, you're telling me you love it to make your case that you're about
to make. No. I don't love it.
I want this in concrete.
No, I don't
right
love
now.
It. Yeah. I like passer rating myself.
Okay.
And in that one, Goff still is hot.
Yeah.
But anyway, Skip, by any metric you want to use, Jared Goff is a better quarterback. He had a better season. So I get you're going to come up with all this stuff and all that. But Jared Goff.
It's all facts.
No, it's not.
It's the truth.
It's not fact.
Yeah.
Jared Goff. Okay, so you got 2-1. And I think deep down inside, even Jenny wanted to say, I'm with those two guys.
Well,
no Jenny's
taking a job somewhere else. So, the problem with D'Angelo Hall is he was a Redskin for so long, he just got blinded with cowboy hate. You just can't get it out of your head because once it locks in your head, it just takes you over. And he is just eaten up with cowboy hate because he has become the president of the internet-driven cowboy haters fan club, right? Or unfan club, right?
Guess what I did?
Huh. I don't know.
I put Drake in a cowboy jersey.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. You know what that means.
You don't want to.
Well, you must
this.
Be really desperate. You're even faking Drake in a cowboy jersey because it's all you got. You're desperate for one jinx.
I am.
Yeah.
I did it to the Patriots, too.
Okay. Look, I liked Jared Goff. I liked him before the draft. I signed off on him being the number one overall pick. But Dak Prescott has proven to be the better all-around quarterback and leader of a franchise. Because let's just start with the intangibles first. Jared Goff just never impresses me as the face of the franchise. His body language never screams to me, he's the unquestioned leader of the LA Rams. I think his head coach is.
No.
And I think in some ways he's somewhat a product of the boy wonder, the boy genius, Sean McVay, who throws it all over the lot. So whoever's throwing it, whoever's flinging it, just like Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, they're going to be really good. They're going to put up record numbers. And Jared Goff really hasn't put up record numbers, but they've been pretty good. But Dak Prescott has consistently been better in QBR. Let's look at just career QBR. I do love the stat because it incorporates arm and legs all around. When did you make the play? Did you make the key play at the key moment? That's what QBR says. And, boy, in that game Saturday night, I would say my quarterback made some key runs in that game. Right? So, overall, QBR, for their three-year career, they've both been in the league for 3 years, and I give you the 1 year because that coach, he did him in for a while. But overall, QBR is 69 for Dak to 45 for Jared Goff. That's not even close. Completion percentage for 3 years, 66.1 for my guy, and that's ninth in the league over that time. Your guy is 23rd in the league at 63.3. He is not that accurate. He is not consistently accurate with the football.
If we take that rookie season away from Jared Goff, his numbers look totally different.
Okay.
Totally different. And you just said that coach did not do him any favors.
Okay. But let's look what happened just this year. Because if we look at degree of difficulty, obviously Jared Goff got handed weapons that Dak has not had. Because just this year, Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks, you want to talk about a 1-2 punch?
Nah,
they're hard, because you made the point the other day. My corners, who pick your poison.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to take somebody. Woozier, you know, which way are you going to go, right?
Yeah.
So you've got that. And Gerald Everett, to me, every time I watch him, he's an underrated tight end because he's a trustable.
He's a Jordan Reed mold.
He ain't Blake Jarwin.
Yeah, Shannon Jarwin, I call him. But
the dude had one game.
So, okay, I give you that.
But
wait a second.
Okay.
What happened? Okay. The moment my guy got a credible, bona fide number one receiver, what happened to the offense and to his statistics? They just went through the roof because you got Amari Cooper who can actually separate. He's as good a route runner as there is in the league.
He's
mentally tougher than John Gruden gave him credit for because I love the kid, you know, and he's still just 24 years of age. Mm-hmm. So what happened? All of a sudden, over the eight games with Amari Cooper, Dak's completion percentage shot up to 71.3. That's fourth over those eight games. And meanwhile, your guy, over the last five games, he's gone in the tank. He's 6 touchdowns to 6 interceptions with 3 lost fumbles.
Well, yeah, 4 in one game.
3 lost fumbles. Well, that's horrible. That's
Chicago have the way of doing that to people.
Oh, yeah? And look at yards per attempt, because your guy throws it deep, right?
It does.
Okay, since Amari came, my guy's yards per attempt, this shows you how far he's trying to throw the football. He's 7.7. Your guy is 7.3 over those eight games. So all of a sudden, my guy's throwing it farther down the field than your guy is. Is that good?
Is he completing it?
Yeah. My guy against Philly in the fourth quarter in overtime threw for 243 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's impossibly good for a guy who can't throw and is inaccurate,
right?
Did you
see what Goff did on that Monday night against Kansas City?
Good.
4 tubs, no INTs.
Yeah, against, like, invisible defense.
Oh.
Like, I don't even know if they even went on the field.
Oh, really?
It's like you're throwing against air.
You know what?
Really.
That was the same defense that Tom Brady had those 4 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns against, and threw for 182 yards in the fourth quarter. That was the same defense that was invisible for Jared Goff.
And defense was invisible for Bill Belichick that night because his defense gave up 31 points in the second half.
But you want to penalize Jared Goff for not being a leader. Not every team's quarterback is the unheralded leader of that team mm-hmm. or that locker room.
Okay.
And that's the big misconception. You don't have your quarterback doesn't have to be the leader.
No, don't.
Most quarterbacks aren't really built like that. There are a select few. That's why I do like Dak. I like the leadership and just kind of the presence I see
it.
When
you
I
just feel yeah, it. You just yeah, watch yeah. it on TV, you say, that's
like,
the guy.
Oh man, you know, right? This dude can get he yeah. can get some guys I fired up.
Yeah.
But we're talking about who do you want?
Okay.
Who do
so,
you want?
Who do
if
I
you
want?
Had to pick between
chips on
these
the table,
two guys.
Down the stretch as the stakes are rising, your guy fell completely apart while my guy was going like this every game. How about playoff games? Your guy has played in one home playoff game against Atlanta.
Yeah.
They lost 26-13, and he had a QBR of 42 on a scale of 0 to 100.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not very good. Yeah. My guy had to play as a rookie against Aaron Rodgers. Home playoff game. Mm-hmm. My guy threw for 303 touchdowns and brought that team back from 21-3 down to 31-all.
He also put him in a hole.
As a rookie.
This is
as a rookie. He didn't put him in a hole. He didn't throw an interception.
This is a completely different Dallas team, though, Skip.
Huh?
This
he didn't throw any touchdowns either early.
Okay. Then. But...
Okay, so
like
what,
I said, I do like Dak. I'm just telling
okay,
you, I'm taking Jared Goff.
Okay, everybody said Russell Wilson's going to embarrass Dak Prescott. No.
No, Dak, he wasn't going against Dak.
I didn't say that.
Okay,
yeah.
But you told me that Russell Wilson, you can't beat this. This guy's too good with the money on the
Russell
table.
Russell is a better quarterback
okay.
than Dak.
Okay,
that's what I
but
said.
Who played better on Saturday night?
Russell.
My guy did.
Dallas's team.
Yeah.
Dallas team
no, Dallas's quarterback.
Better.
The biggest plays in that game were made by number 4. They just were. The biggest throws, the biggest runs. And speaking of running.
Oh, bigger throw? Yeah, what about that one, the Doug Baldwin on the sideline?
No,
what about that DeLocket?
Special. He
which
is special.
Which one? So when did
who
that
won?
Happen?
Who won the game?
Oh, so now
by
we
the way,
do a winning.
They won yeah. it really going away. It wasn't even as close as the final.
Nah,
score.
Stop it, Skip. It was.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Okay, and
it wasn't.
Let's talk about using legs. So in career rushing, Dak has 944 yards. Wait a second. Jared Goff has only 175?
Oh, yeah. He's not going to do that now.
Dak has scored 18 rushing touchdowns to 4 for Jared Goff.
What about passing
does that count?
Down? What about
does
passing
that count?
Down? What about passing
well,
to
well, again, he's got Scott Linehan calling plays.
No.
What if you put Dak in Sean McVay's offense? What would happen? Bombs away. He's got a strong arm. He can throw
whoa,
it down
whoa, whoa,
the field.
Whoa.
Getting ahead of ourselves.
Scott Linehan. Scott Linehan.
Did anybody try to hire Scott Linehan this year? I don't know.
If Scott Linehan
is he a hot coaching
if
candidate?
If Scott Linehan
no.
is calling, pass plays, for, mm-hmm. he's also calling running plays.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the 18 touchdowns.
Okay. What is the Hall of Famer told me repeatedly that Todd Gurley is a little better than Ezekiel Elliott?
Okay.
Isn't that another advantage for Jared Goff? Doesn't that help make Jared?
That was, Skip, that was prior to this year. Mm. It's close now because they do
it's
throw
really
the ball
close.
To Ezekiel Elliott. I gave Le'Veon Bell, and I made this abundantly clear, I gave the nod to Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley as a little better than Zeke because they could catch the ball. Zeke has worked on that. He became more proficient at catching the football.
Mm.
So he's elevated himself. But I'm still taking Todd Gurley because that dude going to go get me 20 tubs every year.
Mm. Good. That helps the quarterback a lot, man.
But, hold on. What does leading the league in rushing?
D-Hall.
Yeah, that helps.
Does running the football leading the league in rushing, does that help a quarterback?
Oh, yes.
You want touchdowns or yards? Help me out. I think you want touchdowns.
Okay,
right?
let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't mind me asking. Last year when Zeke missed those 6 games,
mm-hmm.
how'd Dak look?
Mm.
Yeah. Now, Dak, if he what you said he is.
Mm. So he didn't have his all-pro left tackle, and he didn't have the driving force of the defense, Sean Lee, and the defense was pathetic. And he still went 9-7 last year. I don't know how he did it. And would you believe my guy has the second most wins over the last 3 years to Tom Brady in the
well,
NFL?
If
how is that possible?
If he didn't have Jeff Fisher, he'd have had him.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow. But Jeff Fisher, right. You know, he's done some good things in the league. He got to
Jeff score. Fisher, 500.
Mm-hmm.
Really? He does some bad things, too.
Yeah.
As Vince Young.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams still 7-point favorite in this
yeah.
one. Hasn't
7
shifted.
Points
I know
now.
You think that's disrespectful, but
I do.
Still 7
They disrespect
points.
Your Cowboys skill.
You give me 7.
Right? I ain't giving you jack.
Oh, well, you just said they're garbage, right?
I didn't say that.
I think you
I
just did,
feel like
did,
we've had
right?
this conversation huh? before.
You've got Jared Goff on your side.
Sure
I deserve 7 for Jared Goff.
Well, give me 4.
He's the
give
next
me 4. Give me
John
4.
Elway.
Give me Patriots.
Huh?
Give me the Chargers in 4.
You got Phillip Rivers who outplayed
you got Dak Prescott.
Huh?
No mercy.
Well, a lot of eyes will be on Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers when the Patriots host the Chargers on Sunday. Brady's numbers this season weren't what we're used to seeing, but he still finished with 29 touchdown passes and led the Patriots to their number 2 seed. Rivers has been held under 200 yards for 3 straight games, but he still had a Pro Bowl year with 32 touchdown passes. So, Shannon, who has had the better year?
Phillip Rivers.
I didn't even finish.
Yeah, Phillip Rivers. I don't even want to get the rest of that. And Skip knows it.
Better year at what? Football? Or what are we talking
about?
Yeah,
no, what he'd had a better year at Skip.
And
Jimmy
didn't even finish the question.
He's just
maybe
ready
it was a better year raising kids or something. I don't know.
Stop it, Skip Bayless.
I don't know.
That too.
Yeah, he's good at it.
Yeah.
He had a lot of practice. Mm-hmm. Skip, Phillip Rivers is going to finish in the top five in the MVP balloting. Tom Brady is not. Now, let me tell you. Now, you look metrics. Every metric. TDs, Rivers. Yards per attempt, Rivers. Wins, Rivers. QBR, Rivers. Completion percentage, Rivers. And I don't know, but hey, this is what Skip
Wait, does. Seed. How about seed?
Whoa.
Is that a metric?
Oh. It just so happens that he was in a division that a team was 13.
That sounds like an excuse to me.
Oh, one guy played in the division that the number one seed came from. The other guy played in the division that if you add up all the wins together, they probably wouldn't have made the playoffs. But that's none of my business right now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Phillip Rivers and the MVP candidate season that he has, Skip Bayless. And you know this. And now you want to sit there and say, well, because see, now I give you all the metrics, TDs, yards per attempt, QBR, completion percentage. What about wins, Skip? Who team had the better record, Skip? No. What team, if you don't mind me asking, was it the Chargers?
It's not my turn.
Can you ask?
You tell me it's your turn.
I don't know.
You've got research. Come on. You got somebody writing
your stuff. I gave him the night off. Yeah. I gave him the night off. I said, Steve, take the night off. You've been doing a great job.
I just saw him out here in the break whispering in your ear.
Will you please stop telling everything?
Use this.
Stop dry snitching. Skip.
It's team effort.
Rivers, big marquee win. On the road, down 16 to Pittsburgh, where they had been 220-0-1 when leading by 16 points at any point in time.
That was good.
He goes to Kansas City, outguns them. Now, Tom Brady lost. How many games did Tom Brady lose? Tom Brady lost 5 games this year. Jenny, did you know that Tom Brady in those 5 losses, not one of those teams made the playoffs? And my homeboy's 3 losses, this is who he lost to. He lost to Rivers lost, excuse me. He lost to KC. Are they in the playoffs? Number 1 seed. He lost to Baltimore. Are they in the playoffs? What about the Rams? Number 2 seed. Now, that's what Phillip Rivers, that's his resume. Three of his 4 losses came to playoff winning team. Playoff making team. Tom Brady, Skip, what am I supposed to do with this? 10 points in 3 games.
I'll do something with
it. What am I supposed to do with that? Because, see, here's the problem that I have when people make excuses for Tom Brady. You never said anything about Randy Moss. You didn't say, well, you know, he has a high degree of difficulty when he had Moss, when he had Welker. You didn't make those excuses. Now, you want to use that. No, Skip, I ain't going to let you. Phillip Rivers gunned him. And he going to finish in the top 5 in the MVP voting. And he had a better year. Skip, that's not to say Phillip Rivers is a more accomplished or a better quarterback. But this in 2018, every metric says that Phillip Rivers had a better year than Tom Brady. That's all I'm saying. Okay. And I'm speaking truth.
You finished?
I just offered a benediction.
I think we're just starting. So, you once again made some decent points about
Phillip Rivers. They ain't decent. Say compelling.
And Phillip Rivers did have a very good year, especially by Phillip Rivers standards. Sure. He had a very good year. But Tom Brady had an underrated better year than Phillip Rivers, and let me explain why.
Okay.
All the metrics that you just glossed over, they're all almost dead even. It's just on every category. It's very close.
Okay, go.
Phillip got him in some. QBR, he's 7th in QBR to Tom's 9th.
Okay.
But it's still just 7th to 9th. That pro football rating where they do just to give you an overall quarterback rating for everything that you did, it's Phillip Rivers was 90.8. to Tom Brady, 90.7. So it's like dead even. We can keep going down. Touchdowns,
if I give you $1 and Jenny had 99 cents, who has the most?
All right. Well, I haven't finished quite yet because it's about to go $1.99 toward Tom Brady.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Okay, like touchdowns, interceptions, 32-12 for Phillip and 29-11 for Tom. So still very close. But Tom Brady threw for more yards than Phillip.
How many more?
Okay, he was 7th in overall yards.
How many more yards?
43 more yards.
How many more pass attempts?
He threw 62.
52 more passes. Okay. But again, that's why Phillip Rivers had him in completion percentage 68% to 66% because Tom threw 62 more passes. And we're about to get to the case closer here because on degree of difficulty, on supporting cast.
Is that a stat?
Okay. No, well, it's a fact. Is what
I need stats.
And it's the deal closer here. It's the case closer because you have admitted to me, you're right with me on this. This is the worst supporting cast Bill Belichick has ever provided Tom Brady. The worst defense that Bill Belichick has put on the field for Tom Brady. The worst receiving core he's ever put on the field for Tom Brady. And you have agreed with that. Am I right about that, Mr. Hall of Famer? So, what did Tom Brady do with that lack of supporting cast? He got the 2 seed, and it would have been the 1 seed if Bill Belichick hadn't allowed the Miami miracle to happen at Miami, where Tom Brady had lost 4 of his last 5 games. It's his personal house of horrors. Mm-hmm. What did Tom do that day at Miami?
He lost.
No, he didn't lose.
Oh,
his coach lost.
Oh, the Patriots lost, but Tom Brady wasn't part of the Patriots.
So that was Tom's best game of the whole year. He threw for 358 and 3 touchdowns at his personal house of horrors. And on the very last play of the game, I don't know how that happened, but a miracle happened. And it cost Tom Brady the 1 seed. He should be the 1 seed in the AFC despite the lack of help that he has. Now let's talk about help. Let's look at Phillip Rivers' help. Did Tom Brady have any Pro Bowlers on his offense other than Tom Brady?
No.
Who you said was...
He did not. He did not.
Right, a counterfeit Pro Bowler, Tom Brady?
Yeah, he is. He should have gone. Okay. Andrew Luck should have gone in his spot.
So on Phillip Rivers' offense, he's got Keenan Allen as a Pro Bowler.
Yep.
He's got Melvin Gordon as running back as a Pro Bowler. He's even got his center, Mike Pouncey, as a Pro Bowler. Is that good? Yeah, that is great because let's look at Keenan Allen. Does Tom Brady have a Keenan Allen? No, he threw the majority of his completions, 87, went to 5'10" James White, his little scat back running back, right?
That's why his completion percentage is high as it is.
Okay, well, one guy's throwing to James White, one's throwing to Keenan Allen, he's top five to me because every time I watch him,
his stock goes up. He's a very good receiver. He's not a top five receiver. Stop.
And 50 balls went to Melvin Gordon, who is really good. I know he's banged up right now, and again, we'll see if he can go full speed.
Sonny Michel's not any good, huh?
He had his moments. But how about Mike Williams? You know, out of Clemson, you don't think he's a stud?
Yep.
And the more I watched him over the back half of the season, he just got better by the snap. And that Tyrell Williams is underrated because every time I looked up, he was making a big catch. And little Eckler, he's about as good as James White is because every time I look up, he's doing damage.
No.
Right?
James White caught 14 passes in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so Tom Brady's throwing to James White. Then he didn't have Edelman for 4 games, and he's throwing to Julian Edelman, who's getting a little up there in age at 32.
Oh, now he's getting up there in age.
Well, you told me that.
Well, okay, he's up there. Guess what, Skip? He was the same age when Tom Brady outgunned Patrick Mahomes.
Mm, okay.
He didn't get any younger then.
I'm about to get to that, but you've been the first to tell me that Rob Gronkowski, shell of himself.
Okay.
Looks like a Frankenstein monster.
Ugh. Hold on. You make me seem like Antonio Gates, 27.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, that's like a push to me.
Okay,
right? I'll give you push. But, again, there's Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon, Mike Williams, Tyrell Williams, little Eckler. And for 11 games, Tom Brady had Josh Gordon, who you said looked like he's running with a piano on his back.
You did.
He is gone. He is gone. So we only had him for 11 games. So now it's up to Chris Hogan, who caught all 35 balls.
You see what you did? Huh. You didn't make a compelling argument why Tom Brady had a better season.
You made an excuse why he didn't. No.
That's all I'm saying.
No, it's why he did. Look what he did. This is what you're underestimating. So head to head, Tom Brady outgunned Deshaun Watson in the opener, right? It's QBR.
How can he do that with 5'10" Edelman?
Time out. 84-18 was the QBR in that game, Tom Brady to Deshaun.
Okay.
Then we forget about this, but Andrew Luck went head-to-head with Tom Brady this season. It was this season. QBR, Brady 79-60 for Luck. Interesting. Patrick Mahomes actually had a little better QBR in Foxborough than Tom Brady did, 69-67. But what happened in the fourth quarter? Tom Brady threw for 182 yards in the fourth quarter to overcome 31 second-half points by Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's spectacularly good. I'm not finished.
Okay.
I am not even getting started here. This is what people just sweep under the carpet. Do you realize Tom Brady went to Chicago and hung the only regular season loss on the Bears at home in
a game?
38-31 Tom Brady. How do you do that?
Yeah,
that was that again. That's the number. That's the number one scoring defense, yeah. And that was by far the most points the Bears gave up all year to Tom Brady. 38-31.
What?
Then head to head, wasn't it on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, he just outgunned him head
to
head.
Huh? You know, okay. Didn't make the playoffs.
Well, that's your fault because you love him, and I don't know what's wrong with him. But again, Tom Brady outplayed the guy you say is the greatest thrower of the football ever. And then, how about our man Kirk Cousins? That was head to head with Tom Brady, and the QBR was 83-43. So look who Tom Brady beat head to head. That's spectacular.
Can I talk now?
Well, what's there left to say?
You see what you did? The same guys.
Yeah, I know exactly what I did.
The same guys that you minimize and you marginalize, saying there aren't any good.
He's doing it with that. With that.
Okay. When he loses, you can't blame them.
If you'd given him Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon and Mike Williams, God only knows, you might have looked at it might be 2007 all over again.
I get all of that, Skip. But he doesn't have that. And it's okay. See, you want
to... Yeah, it's okay because it's great what he's doing. He got that to the 2 seed.
He did.
Wow.
But just because he got it to the 2 seed doesn't mean he had a statistical better season than Phillip Rivers, because he didn't. Well, you're making excuses why he did.
They're almost dead even.
No,
it's
they're
a
not.
Dollar to 99
cents. No, they're not, Skip.
Except
stop.
You look at the outcome, the overall outcome, it's advantage Brady.
Skip, you got lost 5 games, which is more than Rivers. You said this is a win-loss. Tom Brady said the only stat
Wait. Tom Brady lost 4 games.
Okay, he lost 4 games.
Yeah.
No, he was 11-5.
I know, but the fifth is not.
No. They're 11-5.
No.
All 5 of those teams he lost to, Jenny, guess what? Mm. They watching me and Skip this morning. Mm. They're not preparing for anything.
How about those 11 wins?
No.
It's impossible. Tom Brady's team should have missed the playoffs.
No.
Without Tom Brady, it's a disaster.
How you miss the playoffs in that division? Well, somebody's got to go from every division.
Huh?
Someone has to go from every division in pro football.
Miami would have won that division.
Okay.
No Tom Brady.
No, they stop it.
Hollywood.
Stop it.
Come on.
With Tannehill?
Yeah.
I've been trying to tell the Miami fans Tannehill was going to get Adam Gase fired.
Mm.
Not only are you going to get Gase fired, you're going to get himself cut, but that's not none of my business. Mm. I need you to stop this. I need you to stop making excuses.
I'm making facts.
Now, you know what? Now, if God would have come down here and tell me Tom Brady had a better season, I would believe that. I'll take his word for it. Everybody else, you better show up with stats and data to back up your argument. And you didn't show up with stats and data to back up that argument, Skip Bayless. You showed up with excuses why Tom Brady had a worse year than Phillip Rivers. No stats that he did, stats to why he didn't. Oh, 5'10 Edelman. He played with a guy that had a PL on his back. Oh, Rob Gronkowski and Frankenstein. Oh, watch
you know, if Tom Brady's team had missed the playoffs, you would have a case, but they should have been the 1 seed. So I'm making the case that his season was just better than Phillip Rivers.
Actually, they should not have been the 1 seed. Phillip Rivers' team should have been the 1 seed because they had no business losing to the Broncos when they're up by 14.
Yeah, boy, that's on Rivers' record, right? That's a knock on Phillip Rivers.
That's 12-4.
That didn't happen to Tom Brady.
Oh, what about Detroit? What about Detroit? What's on his record? What about Detroit? What about the Tennessee Titans? Is that on his record?
Can Tom Brady play safety?
Oh, no, he can't even play safety. Can Phillip Rivers play safety?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Okay, then. Come on, Skip Bayless. You know it.
I don't know it. Tom Brady just had a better year. It's okay. It's okay.
No, he did
not. And he's going to have a better game on Sunday.
That's not what we're debating right now.
Know,
we're going to get to the game a little later in time, probably tomorrow and Friday. But I'm talking about this year in 2018. That's not to say Tom has 5 Super Bowls. Tom has been to 117.
I just enlightened our audience and everybody's sitting back saying,
no, they're not.
Right.
No, they're not.
He is
you know,
right.
I tell you what, let's do the poll. We can do the poll. Let's do the poll.
Yeah,
I want a poll.
That's just Brady.
Poll.
Brady.
Poll.
Hey.
And
Brady.
We'll put
hey.
Brady or Rivers, who had the better season?
It'll just be a popularity contest.
God, there you go.
Rivers.
Skip,
well,
why
that's
you
what it'll go down to. I'm okay with it. It's okay.
What popularity?
Well,
you don't give.
You know what? I'll bet you 10 cases of Diet Dew that Phillip Rivers would win a poll right now.
Because it's the truth.
Huh?
Yeah.
No, it didn't.
You can't say there's a reason behind it if it's a poll.
Yeah. It's the truth. You want somebody that's hating. You don't want to give our fans. Our fans are very knowledgeable. They know football. Yep. Backwards and forward.
And about 85% of them hate Tom Brady.
Ain't nobody hate.
About 15% are made up of Patriot Nation.
We got to convince them, Skip.
Even, they know.
That's right. Yeah. Now, if I had took the flip side, I can make that case. Huh. But since I took the right side.
The fact that he's 7-0, though, against Rivers, I mean, that number has to be driving
But they,
in fact,
crazy. In 2018. They didn't play this year.
Okay.
Phillip Rivers, 7-1 on the road. What Brady record is on the road, Skip?
They're about to play
3-5. 3-5 on the road. How you? Hold on. Why even we having this discussion if you lost 5 games on the road?
How many cases are we going to bet on this game? That's what that
whatever
really
you
matters.
Want. Yeah. And I need them points.
Really? Yeah. I'll do 2 cases right now for no points.
No, 4.
Oh, come on.
I need the 4 points.
Phillip Rivers had a better year than Tom Brady. That's what you just said.
Oh, hold on. 4 points.
Huh?
You said the line is down to 4 points. And hold on. Jenny just told me that Tom Brady is 7-0 against Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
But you just told me that Phillip Rivers had a better year. So now. At 41, Tom Brady's over the hill. You told me that Father Time is tapping him hard on the show.
I need F-O.
It sounds like you
are we gonna settle
don't
it?
Really believe
your we got a couple of days.
We got a couple of days? Yep. Mm. Okay, I'll let this simmer.
You want to do 2 cases straight up?
We'll talk
Why
about
not?
It.
Why not? It's your Super Bowl pick.
We got to talk
you about it. You picked them.
I sure did.
Have you lost
I
courage?
Sure did.
Have
and
you
I'm
lost
pick
conviction?
And I'm going to pick them again.
Okay, well, pick them. Head up.
I ain't got to pick
I'll
right
take
now.
It.
No.
Okay, you guys think about it. We've got a couple dates. No mercy. Cardinals went to college for their next head coach. Cliff Kingsbury is the new man in charge in Arizona. He was fired by Texas Tech in November after going 35-40 in 6 seasons for the Red Raiders. He was then hired by USC to be their offensive coordinator, but now he's off to work with Josh Rosen. Kingsbury has worked with several notable QBs in college, including Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes, and Johnny Manziel. So, Shannon, is this a good move or bad move?
Terrible move. I could imagine, damn, Skip, that must be nice. Be fired as the VP and then go become the CEO of another, of a better corporation. Jeez. Skip, I could see if he got fired from Texas Tech and some other college team comes along and hires him. I can see him getting fired from Texas Tech and one of these NFL teams says, man, that guy can really coach offense. Hire him as a coordinator. But how in the hell you get fired from Texas Tech as the head coach and become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals? Skip, the guy's 6 and he's won 36 games, 35 games, I think, in 6 years.
Yes.
What his resume tells me about him is that he's a damn good play caller. He's a great offensive mind. But he's a terrible head coach. He had Pat Mahomes for 3 years, and he won 16 games. He also had Baker Mayfield.
He did.
So, and he was there with, I guess, he was Johnny Manziel's position coach. So
he was the quarterback coach in his Heisman year.
In his Heisman year. Case Keenum, when he was at Houston, put up all those numbers. So it tells me he understands the position. But when you're a head coach, you don't coach a position. You coach a team. We've seen a lot of guys, Skip, be great offense and defensive minds. They're great at coordinating an offense or
defense. I agree with that.
But when it comes to overseeing everything, they're not very good at that. I don't understand this hire. If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I might want to be the vice president of a company, Jenny.
Yeah.
But if somebody called me and said, we got this CEO position for you, deuces, I'm up out of here. That's what I would have done. I would have done the exact same thing.
Well, of course.
But what I don't understand is that you fire Steve Wilks after 1 year with a rookie quarterback, started from day 1, I think, and you hire Cliff Kingsbury, who just went 6, just went what? 36 wins in 6 years? What's the rationale, Skip? I mean, if that's Nick Saban, if that's Dabo Sweeney, if that's one of these other proven guys, Skip, how do you get – normally, guys, they come from winning programs. Seattle hired Pete Carroll. He was at USC. Now, he had a few down years, but he had – they had taken a couple of those titles away. But they had won. Jimmy Johnson was winning in Miami when Dallas scooped him up. I get that. Skip, how you get picked up and you losing at Texas Tech and you become a head coach? High as you can go, if you're a coach, the highest you can go is the NFL. There's ladders of this. There's high school and there's college, junior college, whatever. But the Pantheon, there's only 32 of those jobs. And he got one after being fired from Texas Tech.
He did.
See, Skip?
It's never happened before. There's never been anything like that happen.
It's not about what you know. It's not even about how good you are. It's all about who you know.
I'm not sure it's about that now. He didn't know any of these people. This was all new to him and new to them. This is NFL sheep think. This is where they see Sean McVay and they say, we got to find the next Sean McVay. Maybe it's Cliff Kingsbury, right? So you're probably right about everything you just said. And by the way, how Steve Wilks got fired in a year, I have no idea. That's as unfair as anything happened in years in this league. You got to at least give him a second try,
at least.
One more.
To let the quarterback grow in the system for you.
The GM, that Steve Keim, he wasn't very good either because he wasn't handed much of a football
team. And that's who you just hired him.
And the owner's son, who's the CEO.
Bidwell.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Okay.
It's hard to do.
So, here I go. I should probably disqualify myself on this whole discussion because I would be the first to admit I'm a longtime fan of Cliff Kingsbury, and I will be the first to admit that I did connect Cliff with my realtor here in L.A. right after he got fired at Texas Tech because he wanted to move out to Santa Monica, where you live right now, and he thought he was going to spend the next 6 months with his very close friend Sean McVay just hanging around the Rams facility absorbing more knowledge about how they do it on offense. Okay,
not happening now.
That's what he thought. It went from that moment to this moment, which has never happened in the history of coaching quite like this.
Yeah.
So after he connected with my realtor, then USC called and he was like, oh, well, wait a minute. This is kind of intriguing. Maybe I could be the USC play caller for a year or two and see where it went with Clay Helton.
Right.
And obviously, to me, USC Lynn Swann just missed the boat because, again, I know he just got fired at Texas Tech, but they should have just hired Cliff to be their head coach. They should have done it because Clay Helton feels like a lame duck to me. It just feels like they brought him back because they weren't sure what else to do.
And he probably would have left then, Skip.
What's that?
He probably would have left then.
I don't think so. Because then you had had an ironclad contract, and he started recruiting, and I don't think he would have left. I just don't think he could have, and I don't think anybody would have even thought about him as a possible candidate, except that he was only the coordinator. It was going to cost $150,000 to buy him out. Now Arizona is going to pay that fee to USC.
Right.
Okay, so all that said.
Well, hell, Skip, he was available.
What's that?
Even before USC hired him, he could have been available.
Yeah.
Because I believe Arizona knew they were firing Steve Wilks.
Okay. No, that's fine. This all happened. Everybody came late to this party. Mm-hmm. And remember, Cliff also became the number one target of the New York Jets. He had two people bidding for his service. Trust me on this.
Yes.
Two teams making offers for him. The Jets were very interested in Cliff Kingsbury, and he chose this for who knows why.
You know why Arizona nice.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And he's single.
He's more of an Arizona guy than a New York guy. He grew up in New Braunfels, Texas, which is a suburb of San Antonio, but it's more small town-ish. And he played for his father, his father was his coach in high school, and he's not a New York kind of guy. And Phoenix is nice. It's a nice place.
It's your little night, real nice.
It's real nice. Okay.
Don't make that face.
My point here is, this is a much better hire than Matt LaFleur was for the fabled Green Bay Packers. Much better.
Really?
What does Cliff Kingsbury have over Matt LaFleur? Well, at least he was a head coach.
Yes,
for
he was.
6 years. And at least he knows That's what it true. Feels like to run the show.
Right.
Because it's hard to run the show.
Yes.
You know this. Yes. You were making great points. I'm with you. I've never understood the thought in the NFL, let's go hire the best coordinator. Well, that has nothing to do with being the head coach.
Exactly.
You have to deal with the media. You have to deal with all kinds of player problems. He's got this going on. He's got this issue with his girlfriend or his wife, and it all comes to your desk, right?
Yep.
And it's hard because it's distracting from what you love to do, which is coordinate a defense or an offense.
Correct.
But still, Cliff was that head coach at Texas Tech, and they had a few big wins over that time. And yet they were 35 and 40. Okay, so you can't sell any of that. But you can sell this. Everywhere Cliff went, he called the plays. He called plays at Houston for Case Keenum when he was a baby. You know,
hire him as the OC would have been perfect.
Huh?
Hire him as the OC would have been perfect.
I got you. But at least he did this. And trust me on this. Everywhere Cliff went and called plays, it turned to gold. It turned to gold because he had Case Keenum. And then he goes to A&M just with Kevin Sumlin for the 1 year with Johnny. And Johnny wins the Heisman.
Yeah.
And so he called every play for Johnny Manziel. Then he takes over at Texas Tech. He's boy wonder. He's genius on the rise.
You see what you're saying, Skip?
Okay, but he had Baker Mayfield, and then he had Davis Webb, and then he had you-know-who, Patrick Mahomes, right?
You see what you're saying? You said everywhere he went, it was gold play calling. The one place he went where he was the head coach, what was it? It wasn't gold.
Offense. No, no. Every year they were setting records on offense. Every year. But why he and Lincoln Riley can't coach a lick of defense, you got me. Wouldn't you take a whole offseason and just say, our target this year is we're going to fix our defense. We're going to recruit defensive players, and we're going to bring somebody in who knows how to coordinate our defense.
No, but Skip.
I don't know.
But Skip, if you're that guy, it's like for the longest time, Coach Saban had a hard time getting quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I'm not going there to play to hand the ball off. Guys have said, offensive guys and wide receivers and quarterback says, I want to go because I want to throw and catch. I'm not going there to have you have me looking like Swiss cheese and people think I can't play defense.
Okay, I got it. That's true. And the whole league throws the ball over a lot.
Yes.
So it makes every defense look worse than it should within the confines of the Big 12.
Yes.
Okay, so look again at Cliff's background. Look what he did. He was a very good college quarterback. He won that Sammy Baugh Trophy for the nation's best passer when he was at Texas Tech. And he played for Mike Leach, who's got – he's crazy, but he's got genius.
That like
he's mad genius, right?
Yep.
Okay. Then what happened? New England. Bill Belichick drafted Cliff Kingsbury in the sixth round, but that same round as Tom Brady. And for 1 year, he was on an IR, but he spent a year in the quarterback room listening to Tom Brady game plan, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's good. That's like on your resume. And then he bounced around the league, and he'd never made it in the league. And obviously he tried Europe, and then he tried Canada, and then he became a coach. But his resume is way better than Matt LaFleur's because he is a head coach, and Matt LaFleur called plays for 1 year at Tennessee, and they finished, 27th in points scored and 29th in passing. And I know it was just Marcus Mariota, but he didn't exactly transform Mariota into John Elway, right?
Well, he got on his resume. He took Marcus Mariota and beat Tom Brady.
Okay.
That's only a resume.
All right. Well, is that why he got hired in Green Bay? Because I still don't get it. They interviewed Matt LaFleur one time, and it wasn't even in Green Bay. And I'm sure Aaron Rodgers, and signed off and said, I love this guy. But he was just a product of the Shanahans. He sort of went along for the ride with the Shanahans, right? And he was with Sean McVay for a year. So, okay, so what? Who's more qualified, Cliff Kingsbury or Matt LaFleur? I'll take Cliff Kingsbury any day because it's a better risk with Cliff than it is with Matt LaFleur.
But it is a risk.
Sure, it's a risk.
Huge risk.
And it's almost indefensible how he got the job.
Exactly.
It's indefensible.
That's all I'm saying. If you want to make him the coordinator, I got no problem with that.
Okay.
But you don't get fired at Texas Tech as the head coach and become the head coach
that's,
of Arizona.
That's number one. Steve Wilkes should not have been fired after 1 year.
I agree.
That's number two. And number three, Cliff, and I know this is easy for me to say, but again, once you commit to somebody, you can't just walk away from it, even though it's the NFL is calling, right? Well, okay, you did that.
Skip, in a relationship, that's something different.
Yep.
You got a girlfriend and somebody else pretty or nice or whatever. Right. I get that. But, Skip, if somebody offered you a job.
And this is an NFL job. If somebody had offered him a college head coaching job, you'd say.
Hey, I tell you what. Jenny said I know this whole job, but Jenny, she like hanging out with you, Skip. You know, Jenny, you bounce
around. Where else would I rather be in the morning?
This network comes along and say, Jenny Taff. The Jenny Taff Show.
Oh, she'd stay here.
Hey, Jenny Taff is here with them deuces. She's here with double deuces. Jenny like that.
Where are you planning to go? A little bit
She
later.
Runs this show.
So. Yeah, she does. But she's like, the Jenny Taff Show. She on the phone right now.
She's got a good
Mama.
Ring.
Hey, Mary, move out of the house. Come on.
If I'm not mistaken, Jenny Taft has a contract, and I'm not sure she could break that contract.
Yeah.
Options right now.
You know what, Jenny, I'm going to push Jenny out the door. If she get a talk show, I'll push it out.
Okay.
Either way, doesn't this remind us that maybe there aren't that many coaches available? If these guys are getting these positions?
I think they have an idea, because what it is now, Skip, the game is wide open. Who can coach it? These quarterbacks, like you mentioned, he's had success with Mahomes and Baker and Johnny Manziel and these guys throwing the football. Yep. Because even now, Skip, we see smaller-ish quarterbacks.
Okay.
10 years ago, 12 years ago, there'd have been one short quarterback in the league. And now, 6 foot, if you can throw it.
Okay, allow me to conclude this discussion by saying there was one home run hire so far, and it was Bruce Arians, tried and true.
Yes.
And Todd Bowles, tried and true as a defensive coordinator. Going to Tampa.
Yes.
Okay. That cupboard is not bare in Tampa.
Yes.
Jameis is there, and there's still Mike Evans is there, and there are a lot of defensive players there.
If Jameis can't grow under Bruce Arians.
Yep.
Now, you talk about quarterback. Mm. When you talk about Peyton Manning, you talk about Andrew Luck,
you
talk about Roethlisberger, you look at Carson Palmer. this man's resume and what he's been able to do in the quarterback position. Okay, Jameis, you're on the clock.
Yep, he is on the clock, but I think he's going to start beating the clock.
I think Jameis' issues are more off the field than on the field.
I agree.
Hopefully he can clean that up and he'll be fine.
I'm with you.
Well, we're going to switch gears to LeBron because he has been out for a couple weeks now, but is he actually helping his MVP case?
Yeah,
we'll discuss the latest next.
No mercy.
The Lakers are hosting the Pistons tonight, but they'll be without LeBron and Rajon Rondo for the eighth straight game. L.A. relied on solid games from Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball to win Monday against the Mavs, but they're 2-5 without LeBron and Rondo. After the win, Josh Hart said the team is good with or without the two stars. Take a listen.
When we're locked in defensively, you know, we're a heck of a team, even without those guys. I mean, I think the whole season we haven't had a full team, but only four or five games. So we know we're young, and, you know, some of that youth, you know, showed the last several games. We show when we lock in and our focus and our attention to detail is turned all the way up, we're a good team, you know, whether we have Bron or Rondo or whoever. So we just got to know going forward, we have that attention to detail. We have that tenacity, that energy. You know, we're going to be a tough team to be in the West.
Okay, Shannon, do you agree with Josh Hart there?
No. Skip, I like Josh Hart. He plays hard.
He does.
He can rebound the basketball. He can knock down shots. He doesn't shy away from a challenge. And I get why he said it. That's what he should say.
Sure, he should.
But he ain't fooling nobody. He said they're good. Good at what? You beat Dallas. Bro, you beat the Mavericks. You do remember you won 35 games last year, Skip. You won 35, and you lost Julius Randle. So now you don't have Bron. How many games do you think they win, Skip? There are 15 teams in the Western Conference, 15 teams in the East. They finished 11th last year. If LeBron doesn't come, are they decidedly better? No, they're not winning. They're not making them. I tell you what, the reporter said, this is why I couldn't be a reporter, Jenny, because I had to follow up. John, since you say that, you know, you're good with whoever plays, whenever they play. If LeBron doesn't come back, you guys making the playoffs? That one hit him with that, Skip. Because he says when we lock in.
So now you're bashing a report.
No.
Ask the tough question.
No.
Only Shannon Sharp would ask the tough question.
No. I would.
Jenny Taft will ask the tough question.
No, I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know. Yeah. I was watching an interview yesterday. You see Jim Acosta when Kellyanne Conway say, nobody around here likes you.
Oh,
so. You saw that, Skip? I'd say, you know what, Kellyanne? I hate to break it to you.
You want to be a political reporter.
Yeah, I do sometimes.
Yeah.
But Skip, let's be real. You and I both know this is an average to below average basketball team without LeBron James. Let's stop kidding ourselves. Remember, Luke Walton just said 4 days ago, that he needed a couple of his players to play with more passion. But if LeBron's not there, we good. We gonna be good. Stop it. And I get it, Skip. I got no problem. He's saying that. But just say, you know what, guys, look, we're going to play hard no matter who's here. LeBron's here, we're going to play hard. Rondo here, we're going to play hard. And that's what we do as a team. But to talk about we're going to be good, y'all going to be good at what? Y'all 2-5 without LeBron. You beat the Mavericks. Newsflash, Josh Hart, just the other night you lost to the Knicks.
They did.
Who had lost 8 straight games. That's who came to your building and beat you. And a few nights ago, you lost to Memphis. That's who beat you.
You got buried by Minnesota.
So for now, I'm supposed to think, man, LeBron come back, oh well. If he doesn't, oh well, we good. We gonna roll. Stop playing. Y'all too big for this over here.
So I do think there's some truth to what he's saying because they do have the potential to be a pretty good basketball team without LeBron and Rondo. A pretty good team because all those kids are starting to grow up and in each of their own little big ways, they can all do some things that are pretty good in this league. But they haven't shot the ball well without LeBron on the court, and I don't know why. Is it because when LeBron throws you a pass, you feel like you're supposed to make this shot?
No, he gets you easier shots because they play so much.
I think there's a lot of the psychology of LeBron James just passed me the basketball. That means I should make this
shot. Man, ain't nobody thinking about that.
Huh?
They ain't thinking about that.
Well, I don't know. Cavaliers didn't last year. I don't know why. But
you know what?
Jordan Clarkson's like, I don't know. He passed me the basketball. What's it matter? Right? Rodney Hood, like, who cares if LeBron passed me the
basketball? Look at him now. You know? Skip, you do
These
know.
These kids all idolize LeBron. They all grew up looking up to LeBron. So when he passes them the basketball, when he's running the show, more shots have fallen because over these seven games, they have been horrendous shooting three-point shots, except for, ironically, the one guy who can't shoot, Lonzo. Over the seven games, Lonzo shot 45% from three. Otherwise, he had the one game where he just didn't show up in Minnesota.
How about this, Skip? If you take LeBron James off this roster, he doesn't come back, how many teams in the Western Conference are they better than? I'll go ahead and start you off. Phoenix. Who else? Mm-hmm. They're not beating Sacramento on no regular basis. Well, they're not beating Golden State. They're not beating Houston. They're not going to beat the Thunder.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm saying, can they make threes? Because over the seven games, Brandon Ingram's actually played pretty well. He shot 23% from three. That just won't get it done. How about Josh Hart? He's shot 28% from three. That won't do it. How about Kyle Kuzma? Kuzma's second best player on the Lakers, and I know he missed a couple of games. Yeah. He shot 21% from three in LeBron's absence. That will not get it done. That's how you trust me on this. As Doc Rivers famously said, it's a make or miss league. If the shots are falling, especially the three-point shot, you got chances to win these games.
But that's the thing, Skip. It's a make or miss league for everybody.
Okay.
And they've been doing more missing than making.
They've been doing a whole lot of missing.
So, but with that, you keep telling. So if LeBron's not there, mm-hmm. See, LeBron makes.
Obviously.
Everything will be all right. Okay, then. Well,
obviously, he's the best.
We didn't say that. Don't try to marginalize my king. He the king. They're trying to marginalize him.
Am I supposed to think that, especially when they're on the road and LeBron can't actually attend the game, is he sitting at home in Brentwood in his palatial estate? Is he rooting against the Lakers?
No.
Because it's making his MVP case stronger? Is he jumping up and throwing his fist in the air when they miss another three-point shot?
Nah, because he's going to have to do that heavy lifting and when he come back.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he's a heavy machine operator. He lifts heavy stuff. Well, he used to it.
It is.
You remember what the Cavaliers – hey, Skip, do you remember what the Cavaliers were before he came back?
Sure.
Do you remember what the Cavaliers – do you know what the Cavaliers are now?
Yep. Yeah.
Do you remember what happened to the Heat when he left?
Do you remember how old LeBron was then, or how young, I should say?
And still kicking. Still putting puss in them young boys.
Okay.
Them young boys, like you say, they look up to him like that old guard used to look up to Jordan.
That is correct.
And as soon as they can, they're going to start trying to put puss in them. But LeBron holding them off. LeBron like that big brother, you know, but I was a little brother. My brother used to hold me off like this, and I'd be swinging, trying to put him. Let me go. That's how LeBron doing them. At year 16, holding them young boys off.
Really?
Antetokounmpo, Kawhi, KD, all of them swinging, and he got them right here.
Yeah, the first two guys don't count because they're in the Eastern Conference.
He let me know. Let me know when you want me to let you go.
So, in his absence, the Lakers have fallen to 22-19, which is the eighth place spot. That's the last team that makes the playoffs.
Hold on, Skip. Now, when he left, they were in fourth. Skip, I ain't good at math. Because that's why I got a bunch of financial people.
We noticed that in the A block today, but go ahead.
Hold on, Skip Bayless. I told you 240 and 240 is how much, Jenny?
Oh, I thought you said times two.
Times,
yes,
but
and then it was like, what?
I meant to say plus.
Oh. I was like, times, wow.
No.
See, there's a
plus.
Difference.
You meant to say
you right.
When
plus.
You do we times, you have to multiply.
Okay, you're right. I mean, you know what? You know what?
The long division of that would just go all over the page.
You know what? You know what, Skip? You try to be slick. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, all I'm saying, I'm not really that good. So I got a lot of people to help with my money and say, well, Shannon, this is right here. Okay, this is what to do. But anyway.
Boy, you must have a lot of money to help.
You know, hey. What they say, if you got money and you can count it, you ain't got enough of it. So, you know, I got a little bit. They can count it. Because they count that thing up. They give me, send me notices every month. I need to have that kind of money, Jenny. It take them months to count it, not get it up to get it to me in 20 days. But anyway, Skip, they were fourth when he left. They're eighth now.
Okay.
But they're going to be okay.
Well, guess who's behind him by only two games? The Jazz and the Minnesota Timberwolves and the New Orleans Pelicans are three back. But the Jazz and the Timberwolves are only two games back of the eighth spot.
They go to the Jazz.
I'm here to predict right now two of those three teams are going to make big runs because they're just too good to be as bad as they've been so far. They're sub-500 teams. They're better than that.
You know,
and I'm also here to make this case. Speaking of heavy lifting, again, I believe there were eight games through the first part of the season in which LeBron James failed to close. I think it was right there on a silver platter for him to just take over the game and take it home. You can't close every game, but what if they'd closed six of those games? Guess where they would be right now? They would have the most wins in the West because the West hasn't been the best so far. It's been a little off. Denver's been a little off, but they got the most wins. Golden State has not been Golden State yet, right? Is he coming back? Well, I don't know why he hadn't come back yet. I thought he was Iron Man. I thought he tweeted that I dodged a bullet.
Sure.
Did he not?
He like Mike Myers.
Really?
They can't kill him.
Really?
Only 8 more days till Halloween. Well,
wait, you can pull his groin, but you can't kill him.
No. Mike, and look what they did. They done burned him. Look at all the, Mike Myers, what, first one, what, late 70s?
Yeah.
Here we are, 2018, yeah. And Mike Myers still around 40 years
he's
old.
He's got a little old pulled groin, and he's missed 7 games? What is that about?
What killed
Achilles? Is that a sign of
when
age?
When they turned Achilles, what happened to Achilles?
Huh?
When they dipped him in the water, they made his body strong. But what was it that took him out?
His groin?
A little old thing on the Achilles. Yeah. That what Achilles heel.
Yeah.
But think about what they don't say no Achilles body, no Achilles heart.
Are you saying LeBron has an Achilles heel in his groin?
Little groin.
I don't know.
The biggest thing.
Really? Huh. Where is he?
Don't worry
Where
about
is
it.
The king?
He's recovering.
I don't know. His team
but
needs
can you
him.
Imagine when he come back
refreshed,
rejuvenated, reinvigorated?
Yep.
Somebody in
the
heap of
the
trouble.
The West is in trouble.
Somebody in the heap of trouble.
Who?
If you're in the West, you're in a heap of trouble.
Really?
From top to bottom.
Really?
Their next 4 games against teams under 500, maybe he's going to wait until these next 4 games.
Yeah, we're going to see what y'all going to do. We're going to see what y'all going to do with them four games under 500.
But if they
then
we're
going to come back
there,
and start wiping the floor with them big guys.
Rest up those old legs.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. We're back the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.